Hey Kislev, Thursday the 1st of December. I'm Moshe Flumenbaum, avoiding fraud in Tashmishei Kedusha.
Thank you for inviting me back again. Most people, when they think of fraud in Tashmishei Kedusha, remember 20, 30 years ago, where you walked into a store, whether it be in Mea Shearim or in downtown Yerushalayim, and you bought what we used to call the bar mitzvah specials, these little teeny itsy-bitsy pair of tefillin, and they used to take the mezuzahs off the roll and cut it into be placed. Right? And there were printed paper mezuzahs, and they were all over the place. Right? Then came along Mishmeret Stam, and to a great extent, they cleaned it up. They closed the Misrad HaDatot offices that were blowing on the low bid on producing the tefillin. People became more aware about paper mezuzahs, and they had a slight inkling of, if it was too cheap and too good of a bargain, then it must not be kosher. Okay. Gun's fine. Everything's wonderful. The matzav is much better. We get new sofrim. We get new sofrim trained. We have very good, quality sofrim who are being trained. They're being properly certified. No, the world's great. Until you look at reality. What's reality? It was just a kinus in Lakewood, New Jersey, that was put together for Sofrim by Mishmeret Stam. Now, most times when you have a kinus like that, it's true proper kinus Sofrim, they discuss halach shailas, they discuss issues which come out that are based in the poskim, and when you invite the Poisik from Mishmeres Stam in Yerushalayim, who also is the dayan in charge of Safris for the Eidah Haredes, you expect him to dwell in a sugya in Limud to go ahead and discuss, what's going on here. Maybe we should discuss new inyanim, such as the reincarnation of cloth made from afasim in such a way that we haven't done since the time of the Taz, or before the time of the Taz. Because the Taz says the cloth that we do today better, and how we write on what today's parchment is better than it was us. But people like sometimes to recreate the work, right? So perhaps it would be in Lundus. But Mordechai Freilander gets up and he says, Chevra, Herzu. Let's talk about realities in life. I want a kosher pair of tefillin. Nope. Kosher pair of tefillin. Menachem David Dalich parshas, Samson parshas, the tops of the tops. Batim, I'm going to get a Würzburger batim. I'm going to get a Mikshachas batim. I'm going to get everything. Ritzuas, I'm going to get zonin for Ritzuas. Mit ale hidurim, shal rosh made the kedusha shal rosh, shal yad made kedusha shal yad, lefi di ari, lefi zeh. Ah, wunderbar! I take it, I check it, I computer check it. Mishmeres Stam computer check, not from the ones that are the home ones that are, they use like the postal service with guaranteed errors built into the program. But don't laugh. I have a mezuzah I checked last week in Yerushalayim that we had that came sealed computer check. Wrong word. We ran it through their program 5 times. Then we took it on a different computer to somebody else who had the same computer program. We ran it 3 times. So now it's been checked 9 times. Never found the error. But fortunately, we learned how to read. That's why certain programs, when they say computer check, mean nothing. Note, a computer check, A, is never in lieu of a real sofer checking for what they call DPI issues, dots per inch issues, such as letters touching, letters being negia. Because if the setting is too high, it makes a negia where there isn't a negia. In other words, it also makes a nito look like it's correctly touching where it isn't, or vice versa. You have it set too low, and so you have two letters touching that because the setting was too strong, now looks, or too weak rather, now looks like it's fine. So that's one of the examples of modern fraud, and intentional sometimes. But reality. You bought a mezuzah, checked with a computer. If you think that it was only checked by a computer, then it means it wasn't checked. Take computer checking Even the best program, the program Mishmeres Stam, Gedoy LeTorah said was only good for Chaser V'Yeser Al Tanai, that a sofer goes over it anyhow. Hey, it's a crutch. It's not a cure. Going back, we have our wonderful tefillin with the parshas, with the batim, with the ritzuis, with alazachim, right? And you, Halacha Moshe Messinai, it was painted lishma. He even had a Jew do it. It didn't come from Thailand, or it didn't come from the Ukraine. It didn't come from Greece, which are all the places that come sometimes with Hechsher and sometimes not. Sometimes the Hechsher they send to Bochrim from, you know, ex-yeshiva in Bnei Brak to see how they're doing. Of course, these guys have never been out of Eretz Yisrael. They don't read any other languages. They're in a place that they don't speak the local language. They have no idea how ritzuas are actually made because they never saw it in their life. But they're the Mishkichim. Okay? And they come with a Hechsher. Or closed circuit television. Now, there's like tefillin in ritzuas, you have a slight problem. You have to be done with Shema. So you need a Jew to do that. You know, he has to take the dirty work and take the filthy hide and lift it up and put it into the bath and have it roll around, you know, around and around and around, you know, until it has the ibud done on it, and it has to be L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. If it isn't done L'shem Kedushas Tefillin, it's only L'shma L'shem Amim Harbeh. It isn't L'shma for Tefillin. Okay? The reality is that go with Weiss on closed circuit television. You're going to tell me, you're going to be able to tell me between the difference between the Ukrainian Yid and the Ukrainian Goy, who's putting this in, who's going to say L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. By the way, it's television, but it's no sound. You don't even know if he said it. Right? This is a Hechsher from a Dayan coming out of Bnei Brak, who in his life never saw ritzuas being made. Okay? Okay, we go back to our tefillin, you know, story again. Ritzuas, alright, so he got it from Sonnenfeld, he did it by himself. No problem. They're painted black, he did it by him, he didn't even use a machine. No compressor. Zeh good. It's only supposed to be Halakha Moshe Messina done lishma. The tzev also has to be painted lishma. You painted your tefillin, even like with the little teeny touch-up bottles, and he didn't say L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. You got big problems if you didn't say that. You go ahead and you went to the best Megiyah now. Oh, I went to my fine Megiyah, whether it be in London, whether it be in Strasbourg, whether it be in Yerushalayim, whether it be in Lakewood, in Borough Park, Muncie, wherever you want, right? And he looks at it and he says, ah, such a Mahaya, Menachem David Dovish Ksav, I'm a Choy Lechanim Ksav, ah, nah. You're lovely. You assume everything's fine. And Baruch Hashem is wonderful. The Batim, wonderful. Okay. Now, let's understand. Before Menachem Davidovich, who when he walks in, or a Hanin walks in, or a big time brand name sofer walks in, who walks in, gets to the rooms. Yerushalayim has like 20 different rooms. You know, ta 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 ta. The guy looks at you just like in the gift shop. You know, what's the price I'm going to start negotiating with you with? They start like this. Yeah, he doesn't look like such a good sofer. I can give him cheaper cloth. He's a good sofer. I need to, you know, pamper him a bit. But I'll take a good price. That's how it works. Who you know, what circle you're in. First of all, the cloth had to be in the shul. Was it a vaydis ya? Was it with a Hechsher? Was it etc., 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 etc.? Nobody sees the Hechsher on the cloth when they get it. Meaning, the middle user, the sofer, doesn't see it. The sofer, the writer, saw it. And you're soymech on that. You're soymech, right, on the sofer, that not only knows all the halacha, and hopefully he has a Kabbalah. After all, think of this. When you go to a store and buy meat from a shaykhit who said, I learned the halachas by myself. Come on, think of it. Think of the reality of going to a store, right? You buy from a shaykhit who says, I'm a good guy. I have a boot. This one, Pipik. and I have payas that are even longer, I'm a shaykhid. I go to the mikvah. I got here. You see the little key? I got a little thing that go every day from Rav Kuna. I got a chodshi. You're going to buy his meat from him? Even further, when you go into the store, if you said, I have a little butkin, the AMP, whatever the stores are called here, Tesco, that's it, right? And say, I have a butkin there, I'm selling kosher meat. Where's this rabbi who serves this? Ich weiß nicht. That's the, but it's kosher, you could be soimich on me. You're going to buy the meat? You throw the guy out of town. Nonetheless, you go into Yankel Pippick's store and shop, and he's a nice guy, he's a Yerushalmayim, he's a wonderful fellow, he davens there, he's a good Baal Tefila, and he sells mezuzahs. So I'm going to buy the mezuzahs from him. Why? Because I assume they are kosher. Why? Because he's an Aleph guy. And he assumes that the guy in Eretz Yisroel was an Erlacher guy, the Seicher he bought him from, who assumes that the guy who got him checked him properly, who assumes that the guy who wrote them had a Kabbalah, who assumed that the guy who wrote the Mezuzah actually asked any questions that came up in the middle. In Safaris, where Freelander mentioned this in his share, he said, it's the interesting thing. You buy a suit, right? It came out of Prague, right? Made in Hungary, like that. Or made in China. You put on the suit, and nechtekin took. You bring it to check for shatness, right? Sofik shatness. Chas v'sholem, I should put on shatness. Very good. So the guy writes his mezuzahs, he makes it a little negiya, he scratches the negiya, and he puts the mezuzah, finishes the mezuzah in there, and he doesn't sleep well that night. Maybe I should ask the shaila if that was Mishan et Surah Sa'is and became possible. Calls up the Rav, Rabbi, I did X, Y, and Z. It was a negiya that I had there. I'm not sure if I may have written it. I may have made a psul b'shas maisa and fixed it, but now you can't see what it is. What do I do? Well, maybe it's a 12th, so that it was bottled to shishim. If I put it into the... doesn't work that way, fellas. It's not like the chicken going into the bit. It's the only area that you have people asking the shayla after the maisa that was there. And those are the erlich cipher. Because the ones that aren't erlich, or those that didn't know the halachas to begin with, right, who write beautifully, some of them write really nice, those guys never even ask, because they don't know. Or they don't care. Okay, so we're going back to our tefillin, and you have the writing here. And you, so first thing you have to do is make sure. And the vazimer tuda. Let's see if he has some kind of hechsher and who gave it to him. Now, in reality, there are basically three or four hechsherim. The ones that are given by Mishmer Stam v'datz Eid Haredes, right, are ones that you either pass the test, you don't pass the test. But I don't care who you are. Because the person, who are giving the tests, work like that. Then you have private hechsherim. So private hechsherim could be my brother-in-law, he's a soifer, I need to give him help him with the parnassah. So I drop him a brief. A letter is worthless. A letter basically is worthless. Gol noch meya. There was a case now with one of the poskim who had his son. Son is a very big Talmud Chacham, but wanted to be a Megiya. Okay, goes to Megiya. He goes to one organization. They give him four hours shimush. They give him $70 mezuzahs, and they say, check these. We'll see if you find a psul. Hey, there's nothing to check to begin with. They're perfect mezuzahs, right? He learned nothing. Okay, so what does it mean? After this shimush, he has a little piece of petzeta. I'm a Megiya. In reality, he's this is a guy who's like a self-taught brain surgeon. He has no practical shimush. He comes over, we give him the thing out of the Geniz, and we say, here, mark every shayla on these problematic parshas that are old. Now, after you marked it, we're going to cut them. Now, after you cut them, I want you to pretend you're fixing them, so you know what you're doing and how to do it. But that takes time, it takes money, and people say, they forget the fact that you need the middle to get to the end.
Okay, so we have the guy, he comes in, he brought in parshas, so they're not Davidovich parshas, they're fine, they're a guy, he has a Kabbalah. We had him actually checked, we brought him to, you know, to a computer, you know. But the computer, yeah, the computer's one of these home programs that aren't so 100% accurate, but it's not paying the price of Mishmeret stumps, because why should I pay 1,200 shekels in Eretz Yisrael for a Sefer Torah to be checked by Mishmeret Stam, when I can get it for 400 shekels from some guy in his house? Think of the costs. Or I pay 2 shekels to check a mezuzah properly, as opposed to 10 shekels in a mezuzah to check properly. Think of the costs and the time allowment for a person has to work, and how fast he has to work, and what he can pay attention to in the time that he has to earn a living. People don't realize that there's still the coordination of the cheap. If it's too cheap, it isn't going to be good, because they can't afford to do it. Comes another guy. Wonderful thing. Halacha Moshe Mesinai, we need Gid. Gidin is a Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's what we use to sell all the Sifrei Torah. It's all used to sell all Tefillin and Nevi'im. Okay, wonderful. Magen Avraham, Tzorech Lishmo. Maisa Shehayu. A guy who came literally with his payas down to here, comes in to sell Gidin. How much should a Gidin? Rav Freeland tells the Maisa. I know the Maisa firsthand. 80 shekels. Well, 80 shekels, $20. The stuff with the Hechsher, but that stuff is $60. This is 80 shekels. You know, this guy, this good deal. The guy, did you make it yourself? Yeah, I made it myself. Has a Hechsher? Yeah, this Rabbi Levi in Sfas. Okay, so first thing, you know, I'm a little bit paranoid. I call up Rav Eliyahu in Sfas. You ever hear of Rabbi Levi? Sfas isn't that big a town. He says, I don't know one. Okay. One red light. Finally, I go ahead, I start asking the fellow how you make it. He says, yeah, I go to the Arab villages and I take, the behemoths that they have there, whatever they have, all the, you know, the treifas, and I take them and I make the, take off the gidim, and, wait a second, play back, I take the treifas. Yeah, I called up the Rav. And the Rav said, I asked the Rav, could I take treifas? And he says, sure. Halacha Mefarish. Nevelim is a treifas, a kosher. And you take the treifas. What kind of treifas do you take? Yeah, the chamorim, the gamalim, whatever they have. Wait a second. And you ask the Rav. Yeah, ask the Mefarish. And he said, Mefarish, if I can take treifas. And the Rav said, yeah. And he's right, the Rav said, yeah. Because the guy who asked the question asked the wrong question. He didn't know there was a difference between Temeim and Taharim. Treifas is an irrelevant question in this case. And the Rav, also a big winner, didn't understand that if a guy is asking if I can take treifas, he doesn't know what the halach is, because that's an open Shulchan Aruch. He should have realized, red light, the guy doesn't know anything, make sure they're not treifas. You know, that. Okay. So now you have a guy making gid from Gemalim and Chomor, selling it in Bnei Brak, trying to sell it in Yerushalayim, and people are buying it like hotcakes. Because look at the guy, wonderful. Glat, freight. You have filling with the Davidovich Parshas, mit der Rotsbacher Baten, mit der Sonnenfeld Paris, and you sewed it up together, and you said, Abocha Vitalit. No mitzvahs tefillin. Halacha Moshe Mesinai, it has to be tough in the beginning. But, and if it's like, you know, it's the thing, you know, the adage by tefillin, I wrote it 30 years ago, 99% kusha is 100% faith. Okay? Now, wait a second. I go and I bought it from Yanko Shmendrik because I didn't even ask him any questions. I just assumed that he was an Erlich Hayid and he knew what he was doing. So this now comes to Soicher in Bnei Brak. Soicher in Bnei Brak has his, you know, is a friend of Yitzchak's, you know, the Sfarim store, in London. And Erlich Hayid, oh yeah, he handles these things.
He says, my brother, Moshele, you know, wants Gidden. You have Gidden? This is sure I got Gidden in here. Come, get the Gidden. Boom. Not only that, but he has it at good prices. This is Schlecht. Okay? And if you start going like that, going back to my Rav with the Heksher, I said to him, you know, did the Minchas Yitzhak and Rav Ozim say you share, it's usher to use, Erel Chasov wouldn't use machine-made, Ritzuas wouldn't use machine-made Yidden? He said, Lo Yotzu, the day is that say Lishmo could be done like this. He says, Yeah, for mention village device the Mardana mention Vilpnishke ke Gibbon Rose Geld. Midaf Machin is Bilik. So I'll tell you an interesting thing. 99% of the time when a person who is Lo Dati comes into my shop, not only do they want a kosher mezuzah, in general they want a mehudar mezuzah. Because if they're going to do the mitzvah, they want to do it right. Verstehst? Realize, when you're a seicher, or a seifer, selling tefillin and mezuzahs, the guy who is going to put it on only for his bar mitzvah, his odds are he's never going to have it checked. That means you got one crack, his entire life, to be mekayim a mitzvah aseh. That's it. One chance you have. It's your opportunity to give him kosher pair of tefillin mezuzahs. You make that cheshbon, he's not going to spend the money. You don't have the bitachon in the Kaddish Baruch Hu that he's going to give you your parnasa exactly to the last penny to be able to say to the guy, hey, you want to spend £100 on a pair of tefillin? I can't buy the pieces for it. Better don't buy anything. Know that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah, and that's it. Better than I should come with this half-baked argument that, you know, maybe I should be yevid mitus, and yes. Those are simple fraud. Now we get into high-tech fraud. High-tech fraud. Do you know that Minolta makes a wonderful photocopying machine today? Cost about £10,000. But you can lease them. It will print on parchment. Not only will it print on parchment, it gives you a raised print, which you can vary the depth of the print in the middle of the document. Okay? So you can program this machine to do all this printing. You can line it up so that it's fitted according to the sirtut exactly, and it will print. And it is virtually impossible to tell. Okay? And it only does 6 mezuzahs at one srika, but it does 32 srikot per minute. Okay? So you only need to do this a very short time. Now, if you don't realize this, in London, I would guesstimate there is somewhere close to $20 million worth of Tashmishi Kedusha in London. Yeah. Figure all the mezuzahs, figure all the tefillin, figure all the Sifrei Torah, and London is not a huge Jewish community. Okay? You're talking about a multi-million dollar industry. And unfortunately, many people come in and they say, I need a kosher mezuzah. Or the next line, as the buyer, there is an aim. If I get me nishkusha, it's not my fault that he sold me not kosher. I wanted a mezuzah. That he sold me a puzzle one, that's his problem. Don't work like that, my friends. Chag v'sadar is a din by itself mezuzah. You're responsible to make sure it's kosher. The newest hop was, instead of having a totally printed mezuzah, is I print it without the tagging. And then I pay somebody, oh, this is an underzah. These guys who put on tagging machers, with, you know, all due respect, these are guys who got thrown out of yeshiva, who need a few bucks on the side, and they sit there with a little graphic pen, you know, putting on little, you know, tagging on them. You know, a lot of lishmo there. Again, l'shem, momen, harbe, lishmo. Dafür stein ist du lishma und ist du lishma.
when they do that, it's even harder to tell that they're phony mezuzahs. The reality is, and unless you're a Megiyah who knows A, what you're looking for, you'll never spot it. And B, who, you know, to begin with, because you're looking for something that's done lechatchila to be wrong. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to look like lechatchila. What's supposed, right? The tafkid of a megiyah is to certify the hazaka of the kashrus that already exists. That's what he does. So now you're talking about people who lechatchila go ahead and make something not to kosher in order to defraud. And they're doing it in such a good quality way that it's really hard to tell. But the bottom line starts with the following. Where are you getting it from? Because the truth is, if you went ahead, and I let it be documented right now, that there is no bezdin that's potter from what I just said, klal uklal. They don't take an achrayus, because it's maybe more profitable to give a hechsher on, you know, potato salad than it is on, you know, on mezuzahs. But the time and effort to make sure that the sources of the people's mezuzahs are coming glatt all the way through. So it may cost you another £1.50, and if it costs you another £3, it's not going to be the end of the world. But it can be done. That somebody goes over to this store and this store and there's this store and he says, Vazme, who the mezuzah is. Show me how it's certified. Show me how it's documented. Right? Oh, it comes from Eretz Yisrael. Fine. We have people in Eretz Yisrael. There were a bun on there too. We can go ahead and find that out. Show me the Ksav Yad. You don't think I can tell a Ksav Yad from that? If you told me you went and bought a pair of tefillin 30 years ago from Gershon Henech Oliver Shalom, I can tell you right now, he had two basic sofrim for tefillin. They were Kirshenbaum, Oliver Shalom, and Margolius, Oliver Shalom. Right? And I can open it up. First of all, 99% of the time they're going to be kosher, because the guys were kosher with Katrila, not Meluder. And I can tell you the Ksav, like that. It's Nishka Gleisazach. Yeah, everyone has a different handwriting. We can identify it. We can identify it so easy today, it's unbelievable. I don't even have to be a person in the police department that works in forensics, you know, to do that. Right? It's easy to do. But it only takes the effort of the people, the customers who says, Chavra, unless you show me, and don't give me a sign that says Mugi. Mugi might goonish. Right? Or, you know, like this, it comes loose. It comes loose. How do I know what came to be certified? A mezuzah goes out of my hand, just to give you an idea. I can tell who computer checked it, even though it was done by Mishmer Stam, all of them. I can tell you which was the technician who did it. I can tell you who was the first Megiyah, who was the second Megiyah, and the when it was done. And they're all stimonim in there. And you'll never know it. You can look at it for tomorrow, and you'll never know where to look to find where it's stimonim on. And I had it once, a Maisa Shahayu. The Dayan Ehrenshuh called me up to, you know, when I was in Yerushalayim, and he said something like that, and I told him, this came from this package and this place there. And he warned me that, you know, heat the vine, because people will break your bones the way you're working. I said, right, you know, my bones aren't so good to begin with, so it's nishkeferlich. Reality is, if you want something kosher, you have to make sure, me'alud of taf, it's not enough to go into a Hamish guy and say, I want it. The Hamish guy is so much, 1, 2, 3, 4 down, things down. If you want something kosher, yes, you have to go into a Hamish guy. But you have to tell him, look, Yankel, I want to be able to have this identified. You don't know the cipher? I want to make sure I have a full chain. Then I'll be happier. I had guys come in to me who wanted to sell me mezuzahs. If I could stay here for hours, you would be sick. The Seferim, one of my Talmidim called up, and if anybody wants it, they can contact me. I'll give you the thing there. They videoed it. So it's available to see. One of my sofer Talmidim in Lakewood calls me up and he says to me, "It's Reb Moshe, I just came back from a shir from Ramotka Freelander. Everyone in the shir was as white as the shirt." He said, "We were shocked. The batim that you get in Chutz Laretz, right? And most sofer and bat are the psolit. Why? Because, understand, Flumenbaum's on the spot. Right? I take everything I want, white. I see it open, I see it there. Good, for Shtaya Vissel, I take what I want." Then they go to Reb Chaim and Bnei Brak, who's also a fellow like that, and he buys another 20%. Okay, so now 30% of the stock of this bat demacher is taken by these two sofer. Then he goes to another guy in Eretz Yisrael, who doesn't care so much. He gets them already painted black, so he never even saw them white. Okay? But he picks out the nicest ones. Then they get shuffled off to the Chutz Laretz Soicherim, whether it be in the UK, in the United States, in Brazil, doesn't make a difference. Okay? They never saw the bottom white. They never saw an Amaisa Shehayu, a painter, an Ehrlich, a painter by the name of Shimon Kluger came in to me, and he told me the following Maisa. He painted 100 pair of batim for a Seicher in Eretz Yisrael. Well, it was winter, it was rain, Baruch Hashem, he brought up, they carry them in fruit trays, you know, the trays that they have the fruits in, brings up the three boxes, comes in, and he was very careful, he had Aleph, he had Bet, and Gimel, written on every batim. Now, Aleph is a Sug Aleph, Bet is a Sug Bet, Gimel is a Sug Gimel. Remember, a Mif'al, a factory, produces merchandise, they sell everything. Otherwise, it's a loss. So they'll sell it A, B, C, or D grade. Okay? D grade, fine. He goes up the four floors. He brings the guy the umbrella. The guy pays him. Says, "Shine." He comes downstairs. It's raining. He forgot his umbrella. No. He goes upstairs. Four flights of stairs. The door's slightly open. And, you know, he was just here a second ago. So he walks in. And he walks through the living room to get his umbrella where he left it, and he notices the side already sitting where he put the batim. The seicher is sitting there with sandpaper, sanding off the aleph, the bet, and the gimel. He said to him, "Vos tistach?" He says, "Ich hab gibben achtin. I was careful to make sure that the labels weren't lost. Nicht dein Geschäft, not your business." He says, "Fine, nicht mein Business." He says, "Nicht mein Business, weil it's a Farbenbatenfeich." And he gave up a panosa with somebody, because he said, "I can't give out work that this guy is going to take everything, Sugalev, that gimel, and sell him all the Sugalev." Where do you have such a thing? He says, "I can't be a yan in this." But this is what happened. This is what happens. The whole thing all the way around, my friends, not only do you need to know the Heksher, you have to know the Heksher really exists. Recently, Rabbi Weingarten just told me there was a case of meat coming from, with Rav Stern's Heksher from Wien.
Been dead for 1 year.
Yeah, that's right. He's been dead for 5 years. But the meat's fresh. Maybe they get the heksher. Get the heksher on the mother cow before they sheft it. I have a picture. Anyone wants to see it afterwards with a heksher, Ishur Meharav Mordechai Eliyahu Tzedal. I have a picture of it. Such a thing you can't go by. That's the matzav we're in. Sahal bought 30,000 shofros, every one made by Baal Avodah Zarah, every one, Baruch Hashem, was actually really puzzled and was rejected. And it goes on. Tzitzis in Mei Sharim, below cost price. You're telling me a guy has a store for that's paying 40,000 shekels a year and he's able to make a pranasa selling tzitzis, losing one shekel per tzitzis over costs? I thank you. I warn you, and I wish you hatzlach of a bracha. If anybody needs anything, let me know.
Give me your color.